verses 17, Acts 10, 17. The Bible says, "Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Father, we come before you, Lord, ask you to help us and let us learn, Lord, from this example here of your work in Peter's life and with Cornelius, and God, just your sovereign power, Lord, and how you rule over everything and nothing surprises you, Lord. Help us to just take faith in that, Lord, and know that our circumstances, you're right there with us and you know what's going to happen, Lord, and we can seek you for reassurance, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I love this. As we look at this again, the theme is understanding that God is no where God is. He doesn't see things like God does, yet he... Sorry about that. So he doesn't see things like God does, yet God is willing to bring him along. God is going to teach him to get him where he needs to be so he can be useful for God. Isn't that a great idea, a great thought, that God will bring us along so that we can be useful for him? Peter already was useful for him at this point. Get this. But God says, I want you to be more useful. So I'm going to help you more so you can be more of what I want you to be. And God does that work in all of our lives. God doesn't desire for any of us to stay where we're at, even though would any of us say here, hey, I've arrived, I've got it all together? No, none of us would say that. Yet, thank God we are where we're at and we're not where we were. But even where we're at with all of our flaws and all the mistakes, God says, you know what? I want more for you. I want to bring you farther. I want to teach you more. I want you to think more like me. So I'm going to bring you to where I want you. See, God's grace never stops working in our lives. He never stops helping us to grow in his grace. Peter, it says in verse 17, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. So Peter's having doubts, but through circumstances that are yet unknown to Peter, God gives him assurance of the decision that he needs to make. And God can do the same thing for us in circumstances where I don't know what to do yet. God, through circumstances that we don't see yet, can give us the assurance that we need. We simply have to be willing, like Peter, to do what God says. To do what God says. And God will give that assurance. John Phillips said this regarding this: it is not often in life we see the Lord showing his hand so prominently in our decisions, speaking about what's happening here with Peter. But can we doubt that he is at work and actively involved in each one of them? It is worth reminding ourselves of that when we come to a puzzling crossroad in life, when a decision one way or another will affect our life for a very long time. The Holy Spirit is actively involved and will enable us to make the right decision if we will wait on him. Just like he did with Peter. Peter's sitting there, he's like doubting in himself what this vision should mean. He's doubting. He's not going forward in faith. He's doubting. He's like, that can't be what it is. I don't believe it. I don't think so. And God shows up and says, no, that's exactly what it is. God guides his decision making. God guides him and leads him. See, God will give us assurance when we are genuinely seeking his will with a desire to obey it. It says in verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So what is it that gives Peter assurance here? You tell me, what gives Peter the assurance of what to do next? Look at this, verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, what happened? The Spirit said. So what gave him assurance to go forward in the next step? The Spirit. Let's break it down. Specifically in that situation, it was the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God was leading him. But what was it? Okay, keep going. What was it? What can it be for us that's going to lead us to know what to do. What's going to guide us in our decision making? What is God going to use to guide us in the right decision, to give us the assurance like he gave Peter? There's a bunch of things. I heard one thing that sounded like the right answer. Meditating on his word. It's the word of God gave him the assurance. Think about it. Now, I know you're saying, well, that was the Spirit coming and saying to him. Well, isn't the Spirit God? Right? So God said, why is that any different for us, that it won't be the word of God that gives us assurance? The word of God gave him assurance. The word of God will give us assurance. You have to have a mind to be willing to obey it. This is where Peter was at. Remember, he went up there to pray. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That was in verse 9. So he was seeking God. He had a mind to do what God wanted him to do. So while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. So the Spirit speaks to him, the word of God. I like this thought. God uses broken and faithless vessels if we are willing and have but a mustard seed grain size of faith. God uses broken and faithless vessels. Remember, Peter doubted. He doubted. In Matthew 17, 19 and 20, it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. They said, why couldn't we do what you just did, Jesus? And they said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. God uses broken and faithless vessels. Peter doubted, and God says, I'm going to use you. Why? Because you've got some faith. It might not be what it should be. Now, obviously, it's not what it should be. If it was what it should be, I don't think we'd even be having this conversation in Acts chapter 10, because God already told them to go into where? What are we looking at in Acts? It's going to all the world. Okay, this is what Acts is about. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God already told them that. If Peter had the faith that he should have had, he'd have been doing that. He wouldn't have had to take this circumstance to open his mind up, to get him to think right. Okay, by the way, this is a preacher. This is the man that preached on the day of Pentecost and led thousands to the Lord because of the message he preached. And I understand not just him, but clearly God used Peter in a great way. This is the man that's having these struggles right here. An apostle. I mean, if he's not like the chief apostle of the apostles, I don't know who is. And this guy is struggling to do the right thing. And yet God says, I'm going to take you where I need you to go, Peter. I'm going to use you. Because he was willing. He didn't have the faith he should have. He didn't have the faith he should have. You might be here and you're like, I don't have the faith I should have. Hey, I got scared today to share the gospel with somebody. You might be saying that. Or I got scared the other day. Or I know I'm going to have to, but I just don't feel the confidence to do it. Or I know I need to step out and do this by faith. I know I need to make this decision by faith, and I'm afraid to. Hey, then you're right there with Peter. But if you have just a little bit of faith, God says, that's all it takes. I'll still help you. I'll give you grace. Hey, when you're weak, that's when I'm strong, God says. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. Why? Because if we weren't weak and frail, then it wouldn't be about God. We wouldn't be trusting in God. We'd be trusting in self. And so sometimes God has to break us down. And I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but many times I'm talking about it in our lives. God has to break us down so we will rely on him, instead of relying upon ourselves and realize. I mean, there's been, you know, lots of times in people's lives when they shared the gospel with people and they were just stumbling through it, stuttering through it, and yet still God used that to reach somebody with the gospel. Because it wasn't about the person, it's about the message. It's about their faithfulness to God. And God says, I'm going to use that. God uses broken and faithless vessels if we are willing and have but a mustard grain seed size of faith. You are important and necessary for salvation of souls. Look at it in verse 19. While Peter thought on this vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Three men seek thee. That's a whole message right there. just that thought. I mean, this story amazes me that God sends an angel down to Cornelius. Cornelius is praying. God hears it. God sends an angel to Cornelius and tells him, hey, go ask for this guy over here, instead of just having the angel tell him. I mean, God could have had the angel tell him, right? But he didn't. He said, go ask for this guy. Do you realize he has chosen to use us? You can be used to reach people that nobody else can. People are waiting for you. Hey, three men seek thee. Maybe, hey, one lady's seeking you. One man's seeking you. Maybe it's five, maybe it's 10. Who knows? But someone is out there seeking you. They need you because you're the one with the message. Because you have the message of hope, the message of salvation, the message of forgiveness. You're important and necessary for the salvation of souls. Peter at this point is in God's school learning what it means to have no respect of persons. In verse 20 it says, God tells him, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Yet he says, you're in my school now. I'm changing your worldview. This prejudice you have is wrong. I am changing your worldview. These guys that are showing up, I sent them. Go with them. Doubt nothing. I sent them to you. Think about this. First, Peter had to choose to walk by faith just like we do. He said, doubting nothing. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. Why would God tell him doubting nothing when he gives him this message? Behold, three men seek thee, but hey, you need to go with them. Get up, go with them, doubting nothing, because I've sent them. Why would he tell them doubting? Why would he tell Peter doubting nothing? Do you think Peter might have been doubting this message? Do you think Peter might have been doubting going with these guys? You think Peter might have been doubting doing what God wanted him to do? Well, God being omniscient, knowing everything we think, everything that's ever going to happen or has happened or will happen, obviously he knew, and he knew Peter's thoughts. See, have you ever had doubts? Maybe God's telling you, hey, witness to this person. You're like, no, I can't. And God's doubt nothing. I'm telling you, I need you to do this. See, that takes faith. Peter had to choose to exercise the faith that he had in what God wanted him to do. He had to choose to walk by faith. Secondly, Peter had to learn, and God was teaching him, but he had to learn that in God's eyes, all of us are equal at the cross. And I think just as importantly in his church. Everyone's equal at the cross, and just as importantly within his church. We're equal. And here's what I mean. Go ahead, turn to Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26. Galatians chapter number 3, verse 26. I really love this passage right here, verses 26 through 28. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So how does one become a child of God? He said, by faith in Christ Jesus. He's writing to these churches of Galatia, and he's saying, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Putting your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, turning from your way to him and putting your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you. For verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So our baptism, that water baptism, puts us into Christ. Okay, and at that point, you have put on Christ. Now get this in verse 28. So this is, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, so this is who he's writing to, the churches of Galatia. He's writing to church members, and he's saying, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Before salvation, after salvation, before baptism, after baptism, God says you're all equal. There is no difference. Stop putting these differences of race, of color, of culture. Stop putting these differences up. There is no difference. We're all of one flesh. We're all of one blood, the Bible says. We all have one set of parents, all of us. Doesn't matter if someone lives across the world and speaks a different language and looks different than us, acts different than us, doesn't matter. Stop putting these differences, is what God's saying. Because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The ground is level within the church. There's no higher positions. We're all equal before and after. That's what God wants us to see today. That's what God wants us to understand today. That not one of us is better than another. Even though we may be different, we're all the same. Because even though we're different, we all need a Savior. Even though we're different, we all get saved the same way. Even though we're different, we need to join a church. Even though we're different, we all join a church the same way. Even though we're different, we all serve God after we get saved and baptized, after we join a church, the same. God wants servants. Servants. Do you realize that's the greatest title you could ever have? Oh man, I so often think of the book of Joshua, and I love the statement when he's talking to Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant is dead. I'm telling you, if at the end of my life, if God can say, Orlando, my servant is dead, praise God. That's what I want it to say. That's what I want my epitaph to say. That's what I want, not just because I want my epitaph to say it. I want my epitaph to say it because God says it. Because I was a servant of God. That, if that's what Jesus came to do, was to minister and not be ministered unto, that's talking about serving. Shouldn't we strive for that? See, God says there's no distinctions. Yes, I'm not saying that God doesn't understand that we're all different. We all come from different circumstances, have different life experiences. I'm not talking about that. But God says none of that matters when it comes to you being my child, when it comes to me loving you, when it comes to me wanting to use you, when it comes to the impact you can have in my kingdom. He says none of that matters. Because even if we all have different abilities, if we're all faithful, what's the reward? Is it different or is the reward the same? It's the same. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Even if this gal over here has more responsibility than this guy over here, this guy has more responsibility than this guy over here. The result is the same commendation from God. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It doesn't matter. We put the distinctions there. God does not. And God wants us to understand that and to see that. That it doesn't matter who walks through those doors, lost or saved, God can use them the same as He can use you. And He wants to use them the same as He wants to use you. Now, He might use them differently for something different, but He wants to use them. His desire, let me say, this will make more sense, I hope. His desire to use them is the same as His desire to use you. That's probably a better way to word it, because He might use us, maybe not the exact same way, but He desires to use us all in the same, for the same effect, if I can. His desire to use us is the same. We're all equal in the eyes of God. What happens is God does begin to change Peter's thinking. And by the way, we're all stubborn and hard-headed. Peter messes up a little bit later, but God uses the Apostle Paul to help him. And he's not stubborn and hard-hearted and fighting him. It works. He takes the correction and makes the corrections. That's what we should do. Not be hard-headed and fight God, which so often we do. When His word corrects us, we fight it. That's not the response we should have. But Peter begins to grow and learn and see what God is showing him. And we'll get to the rest of that in this chapter. But I want to kind of jump ahead a little bit and say that Peter's falling in line with God's word is evidenced by his own response and reference back to this moment that we see right here happening in Acts chapter 10. He does that about 5 years later in Acts chapter 15 at what we call the Jerusalem Council. And he says this in Acts 15 verses 7 through 11. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. Look at this. Here's what Peter says. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. God put no difference between them or us. He didn't say, wait, get them circumcised first. None of that. Peter's growth is evidenced right here. He's understanding this truth that God's trying to get across, that we're all equal. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, the position of power you have, the lack of power that you have, the influence you have, the influence you don't have. None of it matters, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman. It doesn't matter whether you're straight, whether you're gay, whether you're transgender, whether you're whatever. It doesn't matter. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all have to come to God broken and repentant and looking to Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. That's how salvation takes place. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your past is. You got to come to Him the same exact way, humbled. Humbled. As we continue through, I want us to see that the human connection is absolutely necessary for the spread of the gospel. The human connection. And this should really speak to us in our information age, in our social media age, where so much the tendency, especially of younger people, is to kind of withdraw into themselves and have a fake appearance through social media. And we have to understand that the human connection is absolutely necessary for salvation. Look at in verse 19, it says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Now verse 21 says, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. The human connection is necessary for the salvation of souls. They needed Peter. They needed that human connection, that interaction. It was necessary. From everybody involved and all the circumstances that were culminated with this meeting right here, there could be no doubt that God's hand was all over this encounter. Peter sees the men God told him were waiting for him. There it is, exactly what God said. The men find the man they were sent to exactly according to the directions God sent. Now look at the faith these men had. They didn't hear the message. Cornelius did. Cornelius says, hey, go ask for this guy over here. Okay, yes, sir. And they go and do it. And God puts all of this together. So everybody, God tells Peter, hey, there's three men looking for you. Boom. Peter shows up, three men. Hey, the men get to this house. Oh, man. Hey, it's Simon's house, and we're looking for Simon the Tanner, and looking for Simon Peter. And lo and behold, there he is. He comes down, he knocks on the door, we're asking for him. Peter comes off the roof. The access would be on the outside of the house, not on the inside like we would think. It'd be on the outside. He'd come down, and he'd be like, I'm the guy you're looking for. Didn't have a clue they were going there to find him, yet here he is. Man's great need, his greatest need, as the Bible says, is to hear words of thee, verse 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned by God, by an holy angel, to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Man's great need is to hear words of thee concerning the gospel. This is the position that God places us in as believers, is that there's people out there that need to hear words of us. They need to hear words from you. From you. God wants to use you. There's nobody else. Will you fulfill your role? Will you be the faithful witness that God's asking you to be? Because there are men looking for you. There are women looking for you that need to hear words of thee. I hope we've seen clearly that God is no respecter of persons. And he wants each of us to overcome our prejudices and shortcomings. He wants to help us with that. He wants to give us his grace to do it. He values each soul equally. Do you? Do you? Are you willing to be a voice for the Lord as Peter was? Will you be that voice to the undesirable? Remember, these Gentiles were undesirable to Jews. This was anathema. It was a no-no. Don't touch this. It was untouchable to Peter as a Jew. You say, well, he's a Christian. Okay, he didn't have the mindset like we do today. He was still a Jew. They're still trying to figure that out. That's why they're arguing about this in Acts chapter 15. Think about it. This is what we've always been. This is what our Messiah was. Yet everything's changing from what we kind of have grown up with, what we've been taught. He still has the mindset of a Jew. He's a Jew. So these men are undesirable to him. No, we don't even touch them because we'll be unclean if we touch them. That's the thought process they're going through. So will you be a voice to the undesirable? Peter was willing to, even though I don't think it was easy for him. I know we read this and it seems like it was easy for him. No, the whole time he's doubting this. He's like, no. And his doubting might be like, I don't want to. Like, I know this is what you say, but I'm having a hard time with this, God. I've not touched anything, eaten anything common or unclean since I was ever. From the time I was a child, and I doubt his parents let him do it before then. But Peter's like, no, I don't do this, God. Will you reach and be a voice to the undesirable? Father, we love you.